listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
We have a leading lady episode today with our own leading lady in studio. And I will post a picture of you, Bree, because
you better.
Your hat right now is the best thing in the world.
You better.
Mm. Welcome back, Bree.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, so today you are Bree Grzewski, the oddball leader. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, oddball leader.
I love this.
Like that's the best way to frame it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
For sure. So I'm going to take you all on a little journey and like give you some context to my life over the last year and a half. I was up until February of last year, I was working at St. Patrick's Center as their lead fundraiser. And prior to that, I had been here for a very long time, about 10 years ish. And so I left to pursue this other job in fundraising. Mm-hmm. And it was great. I loved it. And circumstances being what they were, I was let go from that job at St. Patrick's Center in February of 2025.
That was a year ago already.
It was a year. I'm coming up on a year back here.
Wow.
Because like 2 days later, when I had announced on LinkedIn that I was looking for work, I got a call like the Wednesday after, and they're like, we have a position for you to apply for. And so the rest is history. But I'm back here now, still in fundraising.
Yes.
But after my departure from St. Patrick's Center, it really gave me some time to reflect on who I am as a professional, not necessarily as a technician, as a practitioner of fundraising, but instead sort of reflecting on my time as a nonprofit leader, leader, a personnel manager. Because I really felt like my approach to leadership may well have been the thing that was sort of the impetus for my removal from St. Patrick's Center. Mm. And so I think in a move that was like sort of in the healing process, I decided that I would start documenting my leadership style and how it differs from, you know, the norm, the bosses that I've had in the past. So it was a way of like codifying that in order to heal, but to also be affirmed in the principles that I bring to the table as a leader. And so probably a week after my removal from St. Patrick's Center, Oddball Leadership was born. It was first a Substack. It is now housed on its own at oddballleadership.com. If you ever want to check that out, highly encourage. But it's been a year of sort of reflecting on these leadership principles that sort of break the mold, so to speak, that are not really seen as orthodox leadership principles. And so I would like today to talk a little bit about sort of those foundational oddball leadership principles.
Yeah.
And I just
what
hope
defines
that
defines it.
Yeah. Yes. What defines
what
it?
What is an oddball?
What is an oddball?
I really am looking forward to this conversation, Bree, because I've known you for a number of years, not just as a friend, not just as a hilarious, you know, amateur stand-up comedian, but also as a really competent professional. Like people who have maybe just heard you on Breeze Radio Theater or one of our, you know, our coleslaw or Jello episodes or something might not think of you. Might not think of you as a professional, but that's how I met you. As someone who was the most fun to have around the lunch table, but also at a meeting, got stuff done. And so I really appreciate the way that you sort of bring this unorthodox style into your leadership. It's almost like we get stuck in this mold to pull in a metaphor from classic Scooby-Doo cartoons. We think of
that
Fred as the leader and Shaggy is the comic relief.
Yeah.
And you get in this mold. And if you have a Shaggy type with a leadership ability. Mm-hmm. What do you do with that?
Yeah.
And that is really who you are. And I think by blazing a trail for other people with larger than life personalities to follow, you can really sort of say, okay, leaders maybe aren't always completely buttoned up. Maybe they wear giant red foam cowboy hats every once in a while.
This is more of a pinkish tone, but you're pinkish, right.
The camera's not working.
The camera, it looks perfect. Right on the camera, but yeah. It is ladies lounge pink for sure.
So brilliant. But that, you know, you're allowing people to imagine other possibilities mm-hmm. that they might not have thought. And maybe someone who's got one of those personalities who maybe, you know, puts their foot in their mouth every once in a while and has to have lines cut from the podcast in editing.
That person's air.mp3.
Yes.
Maybe that person thinks, oh, I'll never be a leader, never be able to be at the top of an organization. And I love that you are asking the question, why not?
Yeah.
So I'll let you just go. I just want to say how glad I am that we're having you here for this conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, too, one of the takeaways that I would love to have from this is either A, to if they're having doubts about what leadership looks like because they don't fit a certain mold of like mm-hmm. what professionalism is, or they feel like they don't have the presence for it, but it's something they really want to do. I hope that this is an encouragement to them. And also, if there are leaders in our midst that feel like they're maybe experiencing some imposter syndrome or, you know,
they
feel
like me.
Correct. Like, people who are maybe in that position feeling affirmed in sort of breaking the mold. So one of the, like, the tagline that I'm working on right now for Oddball Leadership is disrupting the C-suite by staying chaotic and doing good. Chaotic good. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the principles of Oddball Leadership. Interestingly enough, I think these and I sort of bill Oddball Leadership as a sort of a secular thing that everybody can ascribe to. But I feel like a lot of the Oddball Leadership principles are biblical, like mm-hmm. they're based in Christian leadership. And so I think
of course they are.
Yeah.
Like, that's unsurprised.
That's a foundational defining right. aspect of who you are. So of course that would be influencing mm-hmm. your leadership style.
Yeah.
Okay, carry on though.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. So that being said, I think the major foundation for Oddball Leadership is this concept of belonging. And how are you as a leader, as a manager of teams, what are you doing as a leader to help your team members show up to work every day as their full, authentic selves? So, you know, I have come to find that as a leader, if I am, to use a turn of phrase, if I'm creating quote unquote safe spaces for people to come in and be their true authentic self, they're going to do their best work. There is a space now that you have created where people think that they can, you know, challenge and ask mm-hmm. the hard questions and give input. If you've ever been in a role before where you didn't feel that sense of safety, you didn't mm-hmm. feel like you could question what your boss thought, but deep down you thought, I don't know if I agree with that. By basing your leadership style in this sense of belonging, you are inviting the people on your team to not only do their best work, but to take ownership in the overall work of the team. Mm-hmm. And so some of this can be as simple as like ensuring accessibility. Does somebody, like, are people sensitive to fragrances that you might be wearing? Like, are the lights too bright? Like, how can you create spaces where people can do their best work from a sensory perspective? It can be things like that. It can also be like the kind of jokes that you tell or how you comport yourself around your teammates. I have had teammates before that we roast each other on the regular and we'll be sarcastic with one another. And there's this shared understanding that it's all in fun, right? It's all in love. And I've also had people where I have taken that approach with them and they were automatically like, I don't need you joking about firing me. Like like, don't do that to me. And so sometimes it is sticking your foot in your mouth and making mistakes and apologizing. But I think it is that how you comport yourself as a leader is also tremendously important, and to know what differentiates each team member and what they're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and just the fact that someone is comfortable enough to tell you, hey, that's not how I need you to relate to me. Mm-hmm. Like that in itself is something in a psychologically safe environment that's going to set you apart as a leader, where people feel like they can belong because they can tell you that as your boss, like, hey, boss, person, that I don't need that from you.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like that's not
acceptable everywhere.
That's not acceptable everywhere. Yeah. And that's, I think, a hard lesson that I have had to learn over time, is like, not everybody wants that for themselves. Not everybody wants that kind of relationship with their boss.
Yeah.
So I think upholding that belonging, not only manager to team member, but like team member to team member, like across, I need to be, as the leader, setting the example of what that relationship looks like. But you have to be darn well certain that I'm going to make sure that the people who are, you know, laterally on the same level, they're also building up that sense of psychological safety and belonging, so that there's sort of this snowball effect. And I think when teams can do everything through the lens of, okay, am I being hospitable? Am I allowing people to be comfortable in this space? I think that's where oddball office culture really begins to shine. When you ensure that sense of belonging, that's going to take you real far in building a really excellent office culture.
So I want to talk about the oddball part of oddball leadership, because what you've described so far just seems like kindness, honestly.
It's all great. Yes, it gets to be counted as oddball.
Well, it's all great stuff, but I mean, there seems to be more than simply kindness that is involved in this leadership style. That there is this invitation to let life be fun that is often missing from many office environments. This, you know, I think of how my younger, I don't know, would this be an oddball thing? How my junior staff looked at me differently because I would come visit them while wheeling in a wheelie chair down the hall. You know, how does that kind of, I don't know, allowance, space for a sense of fun, even in a very serious business where everyone's got a serious job to do, how does that create a higher sense of camaraderie and job satisfaction to allow space for that?
Yeah. And so I think I want to address your first point and say, you know, we here at the International Center, and Rachel, I know you've held jobs at other places. This is a very special place to work where a lot of allowance is made for me to walk around with a giant foam cowboy hat on, right?
It's true.
And so on, sort of on the outside world, like you don't, It's almost a luxury sometimes to have a working environment where you come in and you have a supervisor who actually cares, not only because it's going to help you do your job, but because you're a human being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so to your second point, I think one of the things, it's not one of the core tenets of oddball leadership, but like one of the things that I talk about is like, professionalism is what kills team culture, right? Like, and I have talked about this at length, things like dress codes and using emojis in emails, or, you know, mispronouncing words periodically. Like we sort of societally have embraced what workplace decorum and etiquette and manners are. And I approach it very much from the, if you're coming in and you're getting your job done and you're doing a good job, if you want to walk around wearing Bermuda shorts, like that's fine as long as it's not like a worker's comp. So having like almost beyond this sense of having fun, but having sort of this more relaxed, like, let's not take ourselves too seriously approach to how I lead is also tremendously important. Mm-hmm. I also think that especially as a fundraiser, when I worked at St. Patrick Center, for example, you know, I was not on the program staff. I was in administration. I worked on the top floor of the building, but the client deck was right outside my window, 5 floors down, but it was right outside my window. And this would be where unhoused folks would come gather to see what kind of resources we could provide for them. There were folks who were like screaming and crying and cussing. And like, these are people that are having the worst day of their lives, right? They're trying to get help. They don't know what to do. So they're going to feel some kind of way, right? Even though we were not on the program side of things, and God bless the people who are in programs in agencies like that. But like, even the proximity to the stress takes a huge toll on administration, and especially in social service settings, like that can take a huge toll. So like, one of the things that I try to do is bring sort of this element of joy, which leads me into another sort of tenet of oddball leadership is choosing joy and deciding to make fun of your workday, to play. I have a box of Legos downstairs in my office just because work can be really stressful, and sometimes just unplugging and being a kid and coloring a sheet or building a Lego ambiguous like amorphous Lego construct is just, it's sometimes what you need to alleviate some of that stress and to practice some modicum of self-care. So as an oddball leader, I also try to introduce this element of sometimes you need to unplug. Sometimes the expectations are not reasonable. Sometimes you do things that you don't want to do. Take some time to step away and really unplug as a means of sort of reducing that stress.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, we kind of came to this at the same time, because when you were doing all of this oddball leadership stuff, I was doing my capstone for my master's course on humor in the workplace. And then I realized what you were doing, and I was like, oh my goodness, it's not just me in this building.
No.
Yeah. Like that, I don't think that's a coincidence of the kind of culture that is built in this building, which is a special thing. I started leaning into just posting comics all over the outside of my cube. And I'm like, if HR wants to tell me to take them down, I'll take them down. That's fine. But like, my cube is right across from the printer. So I watch people stand at the printer waiting for their print jobs, and they turn around and they're like reading my comics.
And
become a whole thing that there's just funny stuff around my cubicle, because you're right. Joy and humor and play are so important in the workplace to let people feel something other than stress for a little while while they're working. And there's research, so much research about how that actually does help improve your productivity and your sense of bonding as a team when you get to laugh about stuff and be creative and be witty about things.
Yeah, 100%. And honestly, like, innocuous things like posting comics on your cubicle wall, like, those are low hanging fruit. Right. Like, that's not hurting anybody, right? Like, there are simple ways for you to incorporate elements of fun into your workday that really shouldn't raise eyebrows whatsoever.
Yeah.
So 100% agree with that.
Yeah.
So we've talked about belonging and we've talked about joy.
Yes.
One of the things that I think has sort of become a cliche in especially things like servant leadership is to sort of having this attitude of gratitude, right? Mm-hmm. And so being thankful in all things. And I really obviously feel like that's true. And it's also important to keep in mind that the work that you're doing, the work you're representing, can't be done without the team that you lead. Yeah. And that work that you do is only as good as the team that you lead.
Mm-hmm.
So I think being thankful for the presence of your team, and the work that they do is so important to creating sort of an oddball workplace culture. Mm-hmm. And letting them know, like, it can be easy to just provide lip service and showing you, thank you for a job well done. Like, think about ways in which you can sort of express that gratitude. Maybe it's, you know, a Starbucks gift card, or a little trinket. I'm a big trinket person, but like thinking beyond the pizza parties or the, you know, things that people might interpret as like a workplace perk, get to know your people and see what they value and mm-hmm. allow that to be the conduit that displays your gratitude. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So thinking about this in Lutheran perspective.
Yes.
Obviously, in the fourth commandment, we have this mandate to honor and respect those in authority over us, which would imply that there is a distance between us and those in authority over us. Mm-hmm. How does oddball leadership sort of navigate this, the size of the chasm between the team and the leader? Obviously, there has to be some distance, because somebody's got to be in charge. The buck stops here, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And yet at the same time, I feel like the best teamwork is done when that chasm is as small as mm-hmm. it can be. How do you figure out that particular question? Boots on the ground.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And I think a lot of what you have to embrace as an oddball leader is that you have to hold things in tension. I think Lutherans are the perfect oddball leaders because
we're great at that.
There's so many both ands that mm-hmm. you have to display, because yes, these are humans and you're a human as well. And yet you have a title and a salary grade and a decision-making ability that they don't have. And that, I think, is just a tension that you have to hold. You have to care for your people. Mm-hmm. And you need to establish sort of a culture of trust so that when the buck does stop at me, they know that they've had the opportunity to give their input mm-hmm. and that it's going to be genuinely heard. And at the end of the day, if we disagree on a way forward, they can still be confident to trust the process and mm-hmm. not see that as like a slight or as something I need to be disrespected about. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have kids, right? And sometimes I feel like I lead the way that I would parent, maybe. I say that, but I could be entirely wrong.
No, I think I do have kids, and I think you probably are spot on there.
Right. Like you love the people that you lead. You love the people that you serve. Obviously, within the appropriate bounds of human resources. I'm not saying to like cross a bunch of boundaries.
HR still applies here.
HR still applies here.
But like, don't be creepy, truly, people.
Right.
They're in the room next door right
correct.
Now.
Correct. Oh. But like, yeah, like when I say I love my team, and I think coming at this through a Christian lens really allows for that.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like I can have a true care and compassion for the people on my team as brothers and sisters in Christ. However, the authority that I may have over them is not to be abused. It's right. to offer guidance. It's mm-hmm. to course correct if needed. It's not, my title does not afford me the opportunity to dress somebody down in front of the rest of the group because of a mistake that I made. I do not have the license to do that mm-hmm. as the director of somebody. I don't. But do I have the allowance to bring somebody into a room and say, hey, you said this one thing. I didn't really like that. Let's work on a way forward together where we are all operating in a way that we are all comfortable. Or, hey, I know that you don't necessarily think that this is the best course of action, but we can have that discussion of like, let's trust the process and check in on one mm-hmm. another. So it's like, it's sort of this, you're playing a guide, you're setting the guideposts up mm-hmm. for the people that you're leading. And if they're receptive to that, then they're going to see in those moments where you disagree or they feel some disrespect bubbling up. In that moment, they're going to be like, you know what? That's not right. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of been my experience in that. So we've talked about belonging. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We've talked about joy. We've talked about gratitude and appreciation. Mm-hmm. That's why I count that as one.
Mm-hmm. Humbleness, maybe?
I don't know if humbleness is not important, believe it or not.
Humility gets in the way of my confidence sometimes, so I got to be careful about not That's cultivating true. Too much humility.
True. Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
I do think they're...
You're not totally wrong.
There's a comic that I always liked. It was like, sometimes I worry that the only thing I'm not good at is humility.
Yeah, I love it. I do think that it's tremendously important to communicate with transparency with your team. And I think this is another both and situation because You have to practice discretion, right? As a leader, there are going to be things that you're told as a leader that you should not and cannot be dispelling to the people on your team. But I also work with adults, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you have to be a discerning enough of an individual to know, like, when you can reveal some information. Yeah. And it's contextual. I'll give you an example right now. I have some people on my team right now who, in a time gone by, had been pulled into last minute all staff meetings to announce bad news, like bad news.
Oh, no.
And we had a last minute all staff meeting that occurred summer of last year. Oof. And I took those two people aside and I said, look, you're going to get a meeting invite for an all staff meeting in the next 30 minutes. Uh-huh. And I need you to know your job is safe and nobody has died. Like, I need you to know that. Like, and I was like, don't tell anybody. You're sworn to secrecy about this. And I'm like, if I am going to just abolish the trust of these people, I don't prompt them first.
Yeah. Right?
So sometimes there is that, like, having to make exceptions, but you have to like have the discernment to know why you do those things and be able to justify why you act in those ways. Mm-hmm. So I think transparency is tremendously important. I also think to put a bow on it, it is tremendously important as an oddball leader to keep and this is sort of in the vein of joy, but to just like keep the spirits up and make sure that you are curating an environment where you can celebrate small victories or even like laugh at the mistakes that you make. if I'm sure this is the case in any scenario, but you know, as fundraisers, we often we'll get phone calls from angry donors. Like, that just happens sometimes. That's the reality of it. Mm-hmm. And so when I was at St. Patrick's Center, I received the most unhinged email from a donor. He had only given one time, and it's always the donors that have only given one time that are like this. And I had sent out an email basically informing people that they could make a gift of up to it was like $105,000 from their individual retirement account to meet whatever requirement the IRS makes of individuals in the United States, right? So I was simply saying you could donate up to this much money to St. Patrick's Center to fulfill this one requirement. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe he thought I was asking him casually through an email for $105,000 because he proceeded to respond. He insulted me, which is fine, whatever. Like, that's whatever. He insulted boomers. He insulted the millennial generation. He insulted our clients and like was talking about how they're addicts. And, you know, if I give you $105,000, I'm not going to have a place either. So I guess I'll go get addicted to something. I'm like, this.
Whoa.
And I'm, wow. I am paraphrasing and censoring big here. I'm like, this guy is what, like, who hurt you, my guy? Right. And so it was embarrassing. It was shameful. It was really, like, as unhinged as it was, I felt the sting of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to take a page out of the book of a shop owner that I follow on social media when they get disgruntled customers in their store. They keep a running tally, like a running countdown of how many days since the last disgruntled customer. So we kept a running tally of days since unhinged donor communications. So that, I mean, you just have to miss when you're, as much as you're celebrating victories, you have to sometimes laugh at the mistakes and just make light of it. Because again, you can't be taking yourself too seriously, especially in a field that can be very stressful and traumatic, even when you're, you know, looking at spreadsheets or you're, you know, on the phone with people.
Yeah. So you talked about belonging, joy.
Joy.
Gratitude. And how do you sum up that last one? Like you said, it was transparency? Was that
transparency?
Transparency. Mm-hmm. And then also
I feel like there's joy and there's playfulness. I'm sorry for miscommunicating.
Okay.
That. So when we talk about having fun, we talk about building with Legos, we talk about comics.
Uh-huh.
I feel like that is more playfulness where.
So dig into joy a little bit more then.
So joy is going to be celebrating victories. It's going to be having spicy meatball counts. So days between angry donor phone calls. One of the things that I try to incorporate in my all staff meetings, for example, I want them to share a professional win for the week. And this was born again at this was a practice that I had started at St. Patrick's Center, where the finance team sort of over budgeted by $1 million. The philanthropy team was supposed to raise $1.8 million. No, we were supposed to raise $1 million.
Okay.
Come to find out later that there was some federal funding that we weren't going to get based on what we had budgeted. So we were facing $1 million shortfall. Ooh. On top of that.
Wow.
So going into end of year, which, you know, thankfully was a time where everyone gave their gifts. We had potentially $1 million gap in funding for the year. And so I said, you know what? Let's go. Like, this is on private philanthropy. Let's go. So I started meeting with my staff on Monday mornings just as a way to, like, center ourselves and talk about my expectations for the week. People had an opportunity to ask for help in this arena. I would lay my expectations on people. But one of the things that we practiced in these meetings is we shared wins. And it could be anything as innocuous as, I didn't get locked out of Blackbaud a single time this week because I remembered my password.
Woohoo.
Or, you know, I've been working with this donor who has given $5,000 a year. And because we had some extra discussions, they gave $10,000 this year. So, like, celebrating wins, large and small, are going to be sort of what snowballs and sort of creates this atmosphere of joy. And I think when you do that, you boost motivation. You, like, people feel compelled to do a better job. And we had a $1 million goal at the end of the calendar year. We ended up raising $1.8 million in private philanthropy. So we had almost closed the shortfall that we had seen or that we were anticipating. And so I'm not going to fully credit those meetings with that performance. But I believe that because we were creating that group cohesion and we were sort of in this atmosphere, we had this bond, we had this general understanding of where each of us was coming from, and we were doing our best. That's, I think, why we saw as much growth as we did at the end of that calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, then I got let go 2 months later. But you know what? That's neither here nor there. That's neither here nor there.
We are glad you're back here.
I am glad to be back, too. Honestly.
Your mission was accomplished.
My mission was accomplished. Yeah. And, you know, as I think about what's next for me, and I think over the year, I've really been reflecting, especially since I had done some fundraising in the social services space. I don't know if, like, fundraising is where I'm supposed to be forever, mm-hmm. right? And, you know, as I think about what's next, like, if I were to interview for a job today for a fundraising role, a similar fundraising role that I have here, the greater honor is not fundraising. The greater honor is not working with donors for me. The greatest honor is serving a team of people and making sure that they have what they need to do the job that's set mm-hmm. out for them. Like, mm-hmm. that's what brings me joy,
yeah.
is loving people, equipping them, and helping them be the best that they can be in their role.
Mm-hmm. So we have teenage listeners, young Lutheran lady listeners.
Love it.
How does a young Lutheran lady cultivate a sense of oddball leadership in, you know, the non-full-time job
yes.
kinds of leadership roles that teenage mm-hmm. kids have, that college kids have when you're in school, when you have these opportunities to do small things? What do you got?
Here's what I'm going to do for you. Okay. So I just turned 40. I turned 40.
Happy
last
birthday,
week.
Bree!
And there's an upcoming post. You guys are going to get a sneak preview.
That I
wrote about, you know, what it's taken for me to reach 40 and like mm-hmm. learn what I've learned about leadership and conducting myself in the workplace. So I would like to read this letter that I wrote to myself, but to the listeners out there, this is not to me. This is not to baby Bree. This is to you. Okay. Here we go. Dear Bree, this is you, AKA Bree from the future, TM. One day you will arrive at the ancient, crusty age of 40. But before that, you will become a leader of the people. And there's something important you should remember. There's literally no point in fitting into someone else's idea of leadership or professionalism. You will spend a good portion of your 30s worrying about whether you were doing it right, whether you looked like a real leader, whether you were professional enough, polished enough, and composed enough. Eventually, you will learn a beautiful truth. The world doesn't need more perfectly polished leaders. It needs more human ones. It needs leaders who are curious instead of defensive and who create belonging instead of maintaining hierarchy. It needs leaders who are thankful and who laugh when things get weird, because things will 100% get weird. The world needs more oddball leaders. So don't be afraid to lead in a way that feels honest. Mm. Protect joy, your joy, and the joy of those around you. Ask the uncomfortable questions and never stop building and preserving spaces where people can show up fully as themselves. You will lead differently, and that's the whole point. Peace out. Bree from the future, TM.
I'm glad you read that. It segues very neatly into my next question for you.
Yes.
Which is, I will preface this by saying, not everyone is like you.
Hmm?
You are this wonderful chaos monster. And that, you know, being able to work with that as opposed to against that has obviously led to great dividends in your leadership style. What about people who are a little bit less colorful?
Yes.
Who do not look or talk or bounce around the office like Bree Gruzevsky.
Yes.
Is this oddball leadership for them? And how can they apply that?
So that's an awesome question. And some of this does come with age. It has taken me probably the better part of a decade, maybe longer, to be okay with the fact that I am not for everybody. Mm-hmm. In that, people don't like that I wear bold patterns to work, or that I'm loud, or what, like that they don't like the way that I lead. They don't think that I'm professional enough. I don't comport myself in a way that is right in the workplace. At the end of the day, that's okay. I don't have to be for them, but I as a leader have to be for them. So in other words, I'm going to treat them with the same values that I treat others, regardless of how they feel that I am. So am I going to ensure that they belong? Absolutely. Am I going to approach discourse with curiosity and ask questions instead of screaming at somebody? Absolutely. Am I going to be thankful for their contribution to the work that we're doing as a department? Absolutely. So even if I am sort of seen as unprofessional or threatening or whatever the case is, I understand that because I am an oddball, but I'm not going to let that conflict change the way that I work with somebody who may or may not agree with me or think that I'm doing a good job. And I think part of that is sort of steeped in this Christian notion of, you know, servant leadership, and you don't treat somebody differently because they don't like you.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel like I hear what you're saying, and with what Rachel was saying, I wonder also, like, is oddball leadership a style that is like, this is a style of leadership and there are, you know, these other ones, and so can everyone draw from this, or is this for the people that it's only for certain people?
Yeah, you know, if I wear no colors at all and it's all solid, like, just if I just wear beige head to toe, can oddball leadership work for me?
100,000%. I think, you know, there are ways that you can comport yourself in the office that don't look how I look, right? You don't have to traipse around in a giant foam cowboy hat like you.
Thank you. I was not going to.
To my head is big enough. Leader. But I think there are some prevailing themes that indicate whether or not you're an oddball leader without having to wear mixed patterns every day. And I think that if I were to offer some of those themes, it would be placing value for the human being over the organization, sort of being a servant leader in that vein, being humble, seeing yourself as a human among fellow humans. And I feel like I need to give four, but maybe I don't have four.
I think confidence is in there somewhere, actually. Yeah. 'Cause you can be confident as a person who wears a giant pink foam cowboy hat around the office, but you can also be confident as a person who wears all beige and is not super loud.
Right.
But you can have all of these values that you're talking about and be for people and care about them and have joy in your own way and have fun and playfulness and celebrate wins and also be confident and humble in what you're doing as a leader. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was a turning point for me, just knowing that I was actually capable of being a leader.
Yep.
Yep. And then you lean into all the rest of the stuff that you're talking about.
Yes.
And you just move forward.
It looks different for different people. Yeah. And on, like, here's the other thing too, is as much as you are ensuring psychological safety for your team, you need to feel psychologically safe as well. Like, because then you can't do your best for the people around you. So if it makes you feel unsafe to wear, again, a giant pink, like absurd clothing item, or like break dress code or whatever, like get the employee handbook rewritten or whatever. I've never done that. Don't do it. Like, you can still be an oddball leader that loves their team and wants to make sure that they have everything they need to succeed in this chapter and the next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That is very reassuring.
Yeah. Everyone can do it. It's for everybody.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like the belonging and joy seem like they are the most central of that. The desire to create a team that functions with love for one another which therefore allows them to function more effectively as a team.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the, for me, I feel like that's what really sets what you've described apart from other leadership approaches that I've heard. Like others, there are lots of different approaches to leadership, but that I feel like is the distinctive in what I've heard.
The belonging I think is central and also the joy. And I think everything else flows from that, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you want to write for a blog? Do you want to talk about leadership.com? You said this better than I did. Guest post. Oh no, she's doing it now. It's just her. Just kidding.
Welcome aboard, Aaron.
Yeah, welcome to Oddball Leadership.
Wow,
love it.
You've gotten a promotion.
You passed the interview. This was an interview for all of you, and you're all Oddball Leaders. Congratulations.
Yes.
Okay. Your paychecks of exactly $0.
Can I get paid in jelly beans?
Yes.
I would be okay with that.
D&D dice.
Okay. I can arrange for that. You're such a dice goblin already. And
oh,
I'm
my goodness, Sarah. You have a problem.
I love it.
Yeah. In all fairness, I've just come off of a couple of weeks of editing our D&D episode. So I've been fully steeped in that for a long time.
I'm so sorry.
My neighbors are honking their horns outside. It's over 75 degrees here. Everyone's just like crazy.
Honking.
It's good honking weather.
No, you're fine.
Yeah.
It's excellent honking weather. Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. I have seen, I'll just say that maybe that's a sort of Rachel observed her experiences of looking at you and working with you as a leader. I really enjoy watching your engagement and interaction with the other people on your team, because I do get to see that being here in the building. And it's evident that this isn't something that you just, you know how to put a good spin on it in conversation, but doesn't play out in reality. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that's a cool thing to see. And again, I think it's a delight to have that, to be something that is, that team is functioning so well, because that team serves a great purpose. And it's a cool thing to like have a team working well for a good purpose.
Yep.
And, you know, to serve the church and to send forth the word and to be able to make all of support, all of that happening is really meaningful. And to make your team be that much more functional and effective at that is a blessing.
Yeah. It's a good motivator.
Yeah.
Yeah. And other people pay attention. I mean, I wear more colors because you do.
That's not even true.
It is true.
Okay. You're welcome. Yes.
Yeah. It's just fun seeing a lot of what you're talking about in play in the building and in our own KFUO team. We've inadvertently embraced a lot of your oddball leadership qualities without even knowing it.
So I would honestly love to hear from the listenership, like any oddball leaders in their lives, and maybe some aspects of what that might look like. And because it's not all just this.
Yeah.
I like
that. Bree, this has been great. I can't wait for our next one.
I know.
When you talk about something else.
Correct. I'll just turn the microphone on and I'll just yap for an hour.
It's great.
I love it.
It's what you've always done.
It's what I've always done. Honestly, though, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
And you love it. You all love it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Exactly. It's been great, Bree.
Thanks for having me, y'all.
Ladies, as Bree said, we want to know if you have oddball leaders in your life, or if you are one. Mm. Shout out oddball leaders in the comments on this episode, in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge, or on Instagram at Lutheran Ladies Lounge. And I will post the picture of the giant pink foam hat that we've referenced multiple times throughout the last 45 minutes to an hour.
It smells so bad.
Thankfully, we don't have smell-o-vision, so you will not be able to smell it, but you will be able to see that hat also on our social media as well. Join us in both of those places. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us, too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at KFUO.org/give.
Yes. I'm losing the hat. I'm starting to sweat, actually, yeah. And it kind of smells. Okay, this hat. I'm sorry. I'm trying.
You tried it. You tried it twice.
Okay, I'm not doing it. Don't let me put that hat on anymore.